this section. My name is David Giard. I'm a technical evangelist for Microsoft, and I'm going to talk about virtualization containers. We heard Brian Lewis, he disappeared, talking earlier about physical containers in the data center. These are virtual containers. This is something different. It happens to share the same name. Here's our agenda. We're going to define containers and talk about how to deploy them using PowerShell, using Docker, what it means for developers, some use cases when you might choose to use containers, and some of the architecture route, the runtime that's involved in that, and then I'll point you to a few resources at the end. How many people here have used virtual machines? I think every hand in the room went up then. How many people have used containers? Not very many hands, so it just went up. So containers have been around a long time in the Linux world, but with Windows Server 2016, they're coming to the Windows world. We're going to have containers available to run on Windows. And to understand a little about containers, you have to understand a little bit of the history of virtualization. We started out with physical hardware. We would install operating systems on the bare metal, and then we'll install our applications and our software and our data directly on that operating system. That works pretty well. There's no problem with that, but it's not as flexible as virtualization. And when virtualization came along in the form of virtual machines, that provided a lot of flexibility for us as developers and as DevOps people. We can use hardware more efficiently. We can move virtual machines around because they're just files. We can move from one machine to another. It abstracted away the hardware itself and allowed us to run applications, run entire operating systems in a much more flexible way. We could, in fact, have multiple virtual machines on a single disk. Well, containers are a type of virtualization. They tend to be a lot more lightweight than virtual machines. And they provide some benefits that I'm going to talk about here. So the benefits for developers are they provide an isolated area in which to run your application. There's few things worse than the problem with a developer creating some application on his machine that works perfectly, and they hand it off to testing or they put it in production, and suddenly it doesn't work because it has a dependency on something on their machine. Well, containers are an isolated environment. We could actually use those as a way of testing and deploying by eliminating the dependencies on a local machine. They're nice for the IT pro folks because they are flexible, just like virtual machines. We can move them around, we can take better advantage of resources. They have really all the advantages of virtual machines have, and they're really nice for the DevOps folks because they make deployment a whole lot easier. Rather than having to script all kinds of software installations and deployments, we can just move containers around. Some of the benefits of containers, dependencies are isolated from one another. So everything in a container is dependent upon everything else in a container. In other words, when we install an application to a container, we'll also install anything that application is dependent on. So if I've got an application that has DLLs that I have to reference, they'll all be in there. If I have configuration files that it has to access or data files that it has to access, I can put those in there as well. But these are isolated from other containers. So if applications crash inside of a container, they will not affect other applications inside a container. There are some security boundaries around those containers. So they allow a lot of flexibility and a lot of safety in deploying your applications. They are virtualized. Of course, as I mentioned, they have the same advantages that virtual machines have in terms of better use of hardware and more flexibility. They share an operating system. This is a little bit different from what virtual machines do. With virtual machines, you can install a Linux virtual machine onto a Windows box. You can install a Windows virtual machine onto a Linux box. Containers are a little bit different. Containers use the operating system of their host operating system. They tap into that kernel. That's part of the reason they're so lightweight. And so that's a limitation. That's probably the main reason why Microsoft hasn't invested this in the past, is because that was a deal breaker for a lot of our customers. Now that virtualization is so common and most enterprises are running their data centers on virtual machines rather than on bare metal, that limitation is really gone effectively because you can run containers on top of virtual machines as well. They are flexible, and they're very, very fast. They tend to be very small, which means they're easy to move around. They start up really quickly. You can reboot them very quickly, so if you have to do some configuration change of power reboot, you can do that. If you need to scale out, you can move those very quickly. And those are some of the advantages. These are the key differences between containers and virtual machines. It's easy to get them confused. They are both virtualization technologies. But the biggest difference is the operating system. What virtual machines do is they talk to a hardware layer, so a virtualized hardware layer, something that looks like the hardware. Whereas containers talk to something that looks like the core operating system. And that's part of the reason why they're so lightweight. We don't install an operating system on them. They all just share the common core operating system. And then, they're flexible and secure, as I mentioned already. You can move them around, have multiple machines, multiple containers talking to the same core operating kernel, operating system kernel. And we've got a lot of flexibility over there, and they've got some security built into them because of this isolation. All right, here's the pieces of container technology. First is the runtime, and this runtime's been in Linux a long time. It's coming in Windows Server 2016, which currently is in Beta 4. Is that right, Brian? Windows Server 2016 in Beta 4 right now?
Yeah, technical preview,
TP4. Technical preview 4. I have no idea what there's a technical preview in Beta is, but that's where it is, right? Preview 4. And the big architectural change from the Windows side is that in the past, the core operating system always expected really just one thing talking to it, really one version of Windows talking to it at a time. And now we've opened it up so that now they can accept, it can actually run multiple containers at the same time. This is the key core difference that's coming to Windows with Windows Server 2016. So on top of that, so the runtime actually enables containers and enables the operating system to host those containers. Then of course there's the container images themselves. And at the lowest level, we'll have something with the operating system, hooks into the operating system. But above that, we're going to have some packages that we can install. We'll talk about that later on. And of course, we need a place to store those images. And that'll be some repository. It could be just a file share. It could be could be blob storage. It could be source control. Some place to store those images so to make them accessible to the people that actually have to use them. This is a picture of the architecture. We start with our physical box with our hardware, and on top of that, of course, we'll install an operating system like Windows Server 2016. And then within virtual machines, what we'll do is we have a virtualization, hardware virtualization layer, and we can put not only the operating system, our own bare metal operating system on that, but also virtual machine operating systems. Those actually talk to this hardware virtualization layer. This is the way that virtual machines have traditionally worked. They've been doing this for years in Windows with Hyper-V and its predecessors. With containers, we can have containers directly on top of the host operating system. The host operating system will have a way for containers to talk to the core. And as a result, these containers tend to be much smaller. We don't have to install the operating system on them. They tend to be very fast because they are so small, but they have to run this operating system. They don't have their own operating system. They share this operating system of the host. Now, we do have virtual machines already enabled in Windows, so we can install an operating system with virtual machines and put containers on top of that as well. And this gives us some flexibility, because now we can have containers, if we're running Windows, we can have containers running Windows on top of that, and we could also put maybe Linux virtual machines, install Linux containers on top of that. So we have flexibility, we can mix and match them, we can just put everything, virtualize everything, this extra layer of virtualization. It's still early. I think this model here, we're already virtualizing data centers. We may put our containers on top of that for extra flexibility, for extra security. But I don't really know how the industry's gonna go, but these are both available to you. You can mix and match them. Here's a picture of the creation of it. So of course we have our operating system, Windows Server, and then above that, we're going to have these images. And these images, they start with hook into the core operating system. And currently this can be, Windows Server Core and Windows Server, again, help me out, Mike, Brian, it's Windows Server Core and Windows Server...
Nanoserver,
that's the one I'm looking for. Okay. Those are both supported right now. There's some works to get the full GUI version of Windows Server as well supported now. But you'll have an empty sandbox, and on that empty sandbox, you can copy whatever files you need. You can copy to deploy whatever applications, whatever frameworks you need, any dependencies of those applications and those frameworks, and then create that as an image. And you can create other images as well. So in this example here, we've got one image that's running Node.js, another one that's running our application, and these are isolated from each other. So if my application crashes, it won't affect Node and vice versa. They can still communicate with each other, they're just not in process. They have their fully network supported, they have their own IP address, they have their own registry, they have their own file system. They're isolated in that way, but they still have the capabilities of networks. How do we deploy these? Well, we have, with Windows Server 2016, we have a whole new set of PowerShell commandlets. And here's just a picture of some of them here. In this sample right here, we're getting the list of all the container images. Here we're creating a new container. How many people work with PowerShell in the past? I bet a lot of you have. It looks like a lot of hands are going up. You should be able to read these that are consistent with other PowerShell containers or PowerShell commandlets. Here's creating a new container here. Here we are starting up that container. Here we're actually starting a PowerShell session inside of the container. So now whatever commands we're going to do in this session then will actually take place in the container. So if I want to install applications on it, I want to start up services on it, things like that. And I think in this example here, what are we doing? We're actually installing Nginx on here, and we're grabbing the install files from this IP address right here. And next thing out of that, we can stop the container. Creating a copy of it and creating another copy of that container, installing other things on that separate copy. So we're going to have multiple copies of the same container and then configure them as we want them. Docker, who here has worked with Docker before? Just a couple of hands went up. So Docker, people think of them as the container people, the container company. They've made their brands, they've made their living by creating management tools for virtualization containers. They've been doing this for a while. Docker is an open source project, and Microsoft is contributing to that open source project. In fact, the fourth largest contributor for the Docker project is a Microsoft employee. And a lot of that contribution is getting Docker to run on Windows Server 2016. And so Microsoft is partnering with the Docker folks, and Docker will run on Windows Server 2016. So not just the APIs will run, but actually Docker itself will run on there. And what the big news for you folks is that the command line tools that are available on Docker. So if you don't want to use PowerShell, if you're used to using Docker in the Linux world, you can continue to use Docker on Windows. It should work the same as it does in the Linux world, and the images are the same. The images, whether you're hosting them managing them with Docker, or whether you're managing them with PowerShell, they're the same images. Here's a story for developers. The big thing for developers is having a lightweight place, isolated environment in which to deploy your applications. I'm a developer. Actually, I am a developer. That's my trade. That's where I come from. I write my code, and it works great on my machine. And rather than just pushing it off and letting the testing department look at it and run it and find bugs that I didn't find, I want to deploy it to a container. So I can grab containers that have all the dependencies that I expect to have in production, and that's isolated from my local machine, and I can deploy my application there, make sure it runs there. And then, if I want to, I can even take that container and I can make that available to the testers. So the testers are not only testing code that's in a similar environment or identical environment of mine, they can test in the container, which is identical to what my environment is. And they can move that into the staging environment or the user acceptance environment, whatever the next environment is. That can be part of your application lifecycle management process. And I can, if I find there's a dependency missing in there, I as a developer can change that. I can add new applications and containers so that it'll run my application better. And that's what this whole build slide is saying. And that gets away from this. This is the works on my machine seal of approval. I always put this on application, on code that I write. It always has the works on my machine seal of approval, which proves that it's perfect and it's your machine, Mr. Tester. That's the problem. This gets around. This is a common problem with developers, that developers hate testers, testers hate developers, and it's because of this ping pong. We go back and forth. It doesn't work. It works right here. Look, I can prove it to you. It doesn't work over here. We don't hate them. I'm making that up. So development of container, and then I think this is the thing. Oh, so for unit testing, you can share these with developers. So some, you may have containers that are just, here's another scenario. If you've got some automated test process, maybe an automated build every time somebody checks in, let's get all the code and deploy it somewhere in an isolated environment. Typically that'll either be on a physical machine or on a virtual machine. We can do that in a container. The advantage the containers have is we build them up, start them up much more quickly than we can with a virtual machine. And so that automated build process can be very, very fast, even if we have applications to deploy as part of that. I hopefully you guys are all having some sort of automated build, test, and deploy process, whether that's a nightly build or whether it's a continuous integration where every check-in you're doing something like that. This makes it a lot easier. This makes it a whole lot easier, not just for unit testing, but also for integration testing as well. So a lot of places will do integration testing once a day and unit testing continuously throughout the day. This still makes it a lot easier. We can take that container, either the container given to us by the developers, and move that to QA, and then move, if it passes, then move it to staging, and then move it to user acceptance, then move it to production. Or we can build that up and run our builds and run our tests within that container, and then migrate them to the different environments. That's all, that flexibility is available to us with containers. And again, this flexibility is available in virtual machines. The big thing with containers is that because they start up so much faster, they can be built so much faster, they give us a whole lot more flexibility. They give us feedback a lot quicker. And that's really what you want in your DevOps environment. You want to be able to find out whether this code works, and you want to be able to find out quickly and get that feedback back to your developers as fast as possible. And so here's kind of the iterative process showing that. Developers are building their code, they're deploying it to containers, it's getting tested, and then it's getting deployed either into the next staging environment, or they're sending it back saying, there's a problem with this, developers change it. All right. And developers can change their code, or they can change the environment. Sometimes that's the case. There's a dependency that way I need that dependency. All right, a couple of use cases for this. Really, anything that requires you to create a virtual machine very fast, or create a virtualized environment very fast, is a good time to start thinking about maybe I should be using containers for this. And a good scenario in the cloud is scaling out. So one of the big advantages of Azure is the ability to scale out very quickly. You can in fact monitor, I don't know if we're gonna cover that today, but you can monitor and say every time my CPU load gets above 80%, I know there's a problem with this machine, it's gonna start slowing down. I better scale out, add another virtual machine. When that one gets to 80%, add a third and a fourth and so on. It takes a few minutes to spin up a new virtual machine. And everything in Azure is built on top of a virtual machine, or just about everything is. So sometimes what you'll do is you'll say, well, I better set it to 75%, because it's gonna take 6 minutes to spin up a new virtual machine. I better hedge my bets a little bit, because I don't wanna make sure it doesn't go up to 99% before it spins up. Well, you can reduce that if it only takes seconds spin it up. So a container, you can get up and running in a few seconds rather than in a few minutes. And then you've got a lot more flexibility in terms of what you're trying to do. Same thing with scaling back down. They start up very, very fast, they shut down very fast, they reboot very fast. So this is great for scaling out. It's great for applications that just run occasionally. So all these batch processes that people write to do things like archiving data or pulling files off an FTP site, or maybe checking message on a queue, things that they'll start up periodically, they'll do its job, and then they'll shut back down again. Well, you want to minimize the time of this that it's starting up and shutting back down, and have a greater percentage of your time actually doing the work, especially if you're renting resources, because of Azure, you pay for what you use only while it's running. Minimizing that can save you a lot of money and get your work done a lot faster. These are the real things. Beyond that, a lot of it is the same advantage that the virtual machines have, the flexibility, and the security and the isolation that virtual machines give you. It just gives it to you faster and more efficiently. Right now this works on Nano Server and Server Core. These are the, I guess they're the versions or the flavors of Windows Server 2016. These are the servers without a user interface. And we're in preview right now. There's working to be done. It'll be available in the full GUI version of Windows Server 2016. You can download this right now. Start running. Nano Server is really interesting because it'll run on a really small device. It's got just a few megabytes of RAM that's it'll run on. It's a really small footprint. And let's see. These are the things that the container Windows Server container gives you right off the bat. It'll host your images, your container images. It has hooks into the core operating system. You can automate either through PowerShell or through tools like Docker. You have the security built in. It's scalable because you can spin up new ones very, very quickly. That's efficient. You can move things around. If you're troubleshooting an application on a virtual machine, it's really hard to move a 4 gigabyte virtual machine. Here's my problem is on this application. I want to give you the entire environment. Copying over a virtual machine is a good way to do that because then you can see everything else that's installed on that virtual machine. But virtual machines are big. They're gigabytes. Whereas these tend to be megabytes. If it's a 50 megabyte file, then that's pretty easy to copy. In the works is containers that will be part of Hyper-V. So Hyper-V, which is the virtualization software built into Windows today that runs virtual machine, will have the flexibility to host containers as well. And once that's in place, which will be post preview 4, I'm not sure which one, what the schedule is, but before the release of Windows Server 2016, then we'll be able to take advantage of some of the higher isolation that Hyper-V has, give a little bit more fault protection, a little bit more security. And you'll be able to run containers either in Windows Server itself or in Hyper-V. Depends on what you want. The containers themselves are the same. It's just a configuration option that's different. And there it is right there. So containers are the same. They'll run on either one of them. And you'll be able to manage them the same. You can manage them with Docker. You can manage them with PowerShell. Presumably, there'll be other ways to manage it. You know, Bash is now available on Windows. So presumably there would be bash scripts that you can use to manage your containers. Maybe there'll be other third-party tools that'll come up that'll compete with Docker. So the container runtime here, so then you'll have the flexibility. This is the same picture we saw before, but you can have containers directly on the operating system, or you can have containers that are running on top of virtual machines, or you can have Hyper-V containers. All these things will be available to you. How you configure it is really up to you. How much isolation do you need? What's your environment like currently? You have that flexibility. The images themselves won't change. It's the configuration and how you configure, how you deploy them that'll change. So these are the tools that are available. PowerShell, Docker, some unknown other tools in the future for managing it. The container technologies, this is the ability to host containers within the operating system. Linux has had it a long time. Windows now has it, and you can deploy, you can run these things on premises. You'll be able to run them in the cloud, in Azure, and there's Service Fabric to monitor these things, just like there is in everything else in Azure. There's tools, development tools, Visual Studio, Eclipse, Visual Studio Code. You'll be able to use whatever language you want. Same flexibility we have right now in Windows and in Azure will be available to you in containers. I'm gonna close with a few links here. If you want to start playing with this today, you can do so by downloading the Windows Server 2016 preview. I think it's preview 4 right there. Here is a document with a customer experience guide with some best practices. This is Matt McStewart has a blog who's writing a lot about the features of Windows Server 2016. Really good stuff on here, including containers and a lot of other things. And this is a pointer to Microsoft Virtual Academy. Has anybody been to Microsoft Virtual Academy before? Okay, about 20% of the hands went up. That's free online training. It's a video-based training. Courses run from anywhere from an hour to 8 hours. And there's a lot of good stuff on there. This just filters it by Windows Server 2016 courses, I think. Take a look at those. There's even like where it's level 100, level 200, and there's some user ratings on there, so you can get a feel for the quality of the courses as well. And that's what I have to say today about containers. Thank you very much.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes, of course.
You were saying on scaling out, if you scale out and just start up a container, it'll start up a lot faster.
A lot faster, yes.
But when you're scaling out, don't you need to get a new virtual machine to get new processing power?
If you're, so the way that Azure is set up right now, today on Azure, there is, it depends on what you're doing. There are some virtual machines that are already ready. But if you're managing your own containers in the cloud, and as this technology comes to the cloud, then you'll be able to spin up. You'll already have a host virtual machine. You won't have to create a new virtual machine.
Okay.
You can spin up a new container on a virtual machine. And then maybe
so it would be able to soak up processing cycles that were not previously being used by your account?
Right. That's what virtualization does right now. I mean, that's, for example, that's what on virtual machines do that on the bare metal right now.
Right.
You could spin up multiple virtual machines in there. They have slices of the hardware that they're using.
Right.
Okay. Yes, sir.
How does the deployment look from like Visual Studio to these containers?
That story hasn't been told yet. I would bet that there will be some hooks into Visual Studio to do that because just based on the things that Microsoft has done in the past, developers really, really like to stay inside of Visual Studio. And so there's all kinds of things in Azure, for example. You just right-click and say, create a new virtual machine. So I would, this is just me talking, but I would expect there'd be those kind of tools inside of Visual Studio to make that easier to deploy. But nothing's been announced yet.
The two ways I've seen it done so far are from PowerShell and from Docker. It's all command-driven.
Yeah.
The Docker command line, which is a Docker, create a Docker image, and it gets created in a couple seconds. And then from PowerShell, same thing as create a new image and it gets created. So it's fast. So it'd be something simple to add to Visual Studio, and I would expect to see that. I see a lot of that direction of, from a creation of VMs and creation of spaces in Azure, et cetera. You can do it all from Visual Studio. So I'd expect this to be the same.
One reason I would use a VM is separation for protection against malware.
Yep.
And how does containers separate the machine as opposed to VM in that?
So there, with containers, there is less separation. There's still a lot of separation.
Yeah.
The file system has its own registry, has its own file system, it has its own IP address, but it does share the operating system core. So most malware works at the higher level, it would be protected against that. But if you have malware that actually gets into the operating system, then there could be leaks in containers that aren't there in virtual machines. Running it in Hyper-V, which is coming, will eliminate some of that.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. There are some developers that work on this, and they said they think that they're going to be able to add more features. Part of the idea is conceptually, because we're sharing the kernel, there's a possibility of infecting across there. The developers felt that that wasn't going to be the case. So theoretically, it certainly is, conceptually. But they were feeling that they're going to have isolation from a security boundary as well, and just have more speed and all that kind of thing. So it remains to be seen whether anybody's able to break through. But the developers working on it were kind of the mind that they thought, that it would be able to be protected in that realm as well. But that's not public. That's just something I saw in journal from some guys talking. That's not a thing we've announced and said it will be. That's just guessing.
There is less. It's fair to say there is less isolation in a container than there is in a virtual machine.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a little bit more attack surface. I wonder if I think that's what that proves.
Mm-hmm.
That remains to be seen. Great point, Brian.